desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I've written on the board, go in peace. We are entering that time of the year when we remember Jesus' birth and all that Jesus came to bring us. And that's where my mind is this morning. I'm inspired with one of the central things that He came to bring us, and that is peace. And I'll say this the only way I know how. I so desire this morning to be able to bring a message that reaches you personally. We hear messages preached, or we talk a lot about peace, we think a lot about peace, but it is strongly my desire this morning that the Lord would help us to get a hold of it in a way that equips us in a very personal way, that it reaches our individual hearts and equips us in life to be able to experience this thing of peace. Some time ago, I related a story to you, something that happened to me. I'd like to go back to it. It was a lot of years ago, maybe 25 years ago. And I was having a computer systems problem at home. Have you ever had computer problems? That really contributes to peace, doesn't it? Not really. And I couldn't figure it out, so I called the helpline. They're supposed to help you figure the problems out. So I dialed the number and got somebody on the phone with high anticipation that they're going to be able to fix my problem. And so they went through the thing with me and had me do different things, but it didn't solve my problem. And we got to the end and they said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to elevate this. Have you ever been told that on the phone? We're going to elevate it. Well, I thought, well, okay, that's fair enough. Maybe they've got two different stages here. They got the folks that answers the phone and tells you to restart your computer. And if that doesn't work, then they're going to elevate it. So we got elevated. So I waited for the person on the elevator to call me. And they finally did. Spent time with them. No avail. Got to the end of the conversation. They couldn't help me. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to elevate it. We're going to elevate it to the next level. Okay. Going to elevate it again. So I said, they'll call you. So I waited for the call, and finally somebody called and said, well, I hear you're having a problem. And I said, yeah, I'm having a problem. Went through the problem with them. They went through what they could do. No avail. He said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to elevate it. We're going to elevate this problem to the next level. I was saved 25 years ago. But it was starting to work on my peace. And so I waited for the next call. It finally came. And he says, hi, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such. I called because you reported a problem and I was off and running. I am having a problem and I've talked to, you know, X, Y, and Z and it keeps getting elevated. And I'm not getting any help, and boy, I was explaining my situation to him. And he just sat there. And pretty soon I took a breath and he said, hey man, he said, relax. I don't remember if he used the word chill out or not, but it was in there. Relax, man. In other words, be at peace. He was clearly at peace. He said, relax. He said, you have now reached the experts. Relax. And he was what he said he was. I finally reached the experts. And he made my problem look like it wasn't a problem at all. I mean, took care of it in the most simple way. It was simple to him. And he told me to relax, not because I could handle the problem. It wasn't because what he knew that I would be able to do with my problem. It wasn't because of all the other people that professed to be able to handle my problems, that professed to be at an elevated state. He told me to relax and be at peace because I was now in contact with the one that could handle the problem. And he was who he said he was. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord God in heaven has given us access to the Master of life. God has given us access to the one that is above all things, that knows and understands and is over all the heavens and the earth, and promises to lead us from the temporal into the eternal. And his exhortation to us all throughout the scriptures is, don't be paralyzed with fear. Don't live absent peace. Don't be consumed with all of those things that are around you that you don't know how to handle. But he comes and he offers us the opportunity to be connected to the one that does know all. And the sooner that we are able this morning, the sooner that we are able to see past all of those things and people and situations that promise to give us peace, as soon as we are able to look past all of that and look to the one at the highest level, the sooner we will be able to experience the peace that we're searching for. It wasn't intended to be complicated. For Jesus Christ is also who he says he is. Like to read, maybe before we read there, I do want to ask this question. What is the most sought after experience in life, really? Isn't it peace? Isn't that really what we want? Does it really matter what state we are in life if we can actually be experiencing peace in our hearts? We don't always define it that way. The world doesn't always define it that way. They go after many things besides God and Jesus Christ. But they're in search of fulfillment. People are in search of a peace that goes past the surface and reaches to the innermost part of their soul and their life. We're looking for assurance that goes past human understanding and ways that we can communicate it. And yet, it seems like that so much of the time we have a hard time finding it. You ever had a hard time finding peace? Assurance, fulfillment, rest. You ever have a hard time finding rest? I have. But Jesus Christ never intended for it to be this elusive thing that that we could never experience until we cross over into the eternal realm. Jesus came to this world that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, and that we might find rest. There remaineth therefore a rest, the Hebrew writer said, to the people of God. Let us therefore fear, it says, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Went on and it said the gospel was preached to many, but it didn't have the effect on all like the Lord intended, because there were those that didn't mix the Word of God and the truth with faith and belief and trust. But if we are able and if we are willing to bypass and not listen to all of the noise and the chatter and the promises of those that are in the temporal realm, and if we can look past that and lift our eyes up to the One that is above all and reach for Him, we can find rest in our souls. I'd like to reinforce your faith and your understanding this morning by the help of God. In the 8th chapter of Luke, and the 43rd verse. Luke 8:43. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. She had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." This was a woman that had a problem for a long time. It was something that she would get up in the morning with and she would go to bed at night with. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It was something that was internal, a problem that she had. And it said that she looked and spent all that she had trying to resolve it. It said that she spent all her living upon physicians. This verse is not intended to be a strike against physicians. That's not what this verse is about. That's not what my message is about. It's not the intent of this. No doubt there were those that did everything they could to help her in the best way that they knew how. And there are people today, even physicians, that try to do the best that they can to help people. That's not all bad. But what this is speaking to is a void that nobody else could fill. It was speaking to a place in this woman's life that she needed help, but she couldn't find it anywhere. And she had given all of her living to try to find it. And you know that sometimes we find ourselves in the same place. We find ourselves with a void, a gap, something that has taken our peace and we're unable to rest, and day after day and week after week and month after month we live with this. But one day, this woman heard of a man called Jesus that was going to be passing by her way. And she purposed within herself that if I might be able to touch Jesus, if I can just get in contact with Jesus, there will be virtue that flows from the Almighty through that touch into my life, and I might find the healing that I haven't been able to get anywhere else in life. And so that's what she did. She pushed through the press, one place said, and she came and she touched the border of his garment, and immediately her problem went away. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the verse says that with the multitudes thronging about, Peter said, "What do you mean, Lord, who touched you? There's people everywhere." The Lord said, "No, who touched me?" There are many people that profess Jesus Christ with their lips, that throng about where they believe Jesus to be. But have you ever wondered why there were so few that caused Jesus to stop and say, "Who touched me?" This woman believed in a power that was outside of the temporal. And she had faith in it. And she pressed through all of those other things. And when she touched Jesus, the virtue of our Lord went into her life and gave her the answer that she had been seeking. She came forth and said, "Lord, I'm the one. This is what happened." And he said unto her in the 48th verse, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then he said something here that captured my attention. He said, "Go in peace." Not just peace for the moment. Not just peace for the day. Not just peace because a needy item in your life had been addressed that day. But he said, "Go in peace." Not because your ability, not because of your virtue, not because everything that you will now face in life will be pleasant, but you have come in contact with the one that is above all. And because of that faith, because of that trust, because of that touch that came from the heart, go in peace. There's life to be lived. There's other mountains to be scaled. There's other victories to be won. There's more land to be obtained. There's more giants to be defeated. Go. Get up. Be of good comfort. Don't stay here. There's work for you to do. I have something personal for you to do. You have received virtue that flowed from my hand. Now, get up and go in peace because of who I am. And it is something that Jesus Christ paid the price for every one of us. And I believe this morning that there are people here today in this congregation that are struggling with having peace and rest. I know what it's like. I've been there. Jesus came to bring you rest. He came to bring you peace. And He has a message to all of us this morning that we too can be of good comfort, that we can go in peace. And it does not mean that the Lord is going to grant every prayer that we offer up in just exactly the way that perhaps seems good unto us. That's not what He promised anywhere. But it does mean we can experience rest. It does mean we can experience peace. And yet, so often we search for it in the wrong places, like this woman did, like I have, like no doubt you have at times. We look for peace and assurance and rest and fulfillment through so many of the things that will pass from this life. Material things. Health. Our appearance. Our reputation. Our security in this life. Sometimes we look for peace and rest in nature. All of these things have their place. But do you know what, perhaps above all of these things, that we look for to find peace? It's the absence of trouble. Isn't it? We look to find ourselves and put ourselves in a situation that is absent the storm, absent the unpleasant. And I want to get this morning as best as I can by the help of the Lord right where we live. I desire for us to get a hold of what it means to have peace in Jesus Christ. Peace and rest is found through God regardless of our situation. And you say, well, preacher, you don't know my situation. You say, that sounds like the right thing to say at church. And I fear that sometimes we hear these things and we go away discouraged because we feel like that it's unattainable for us in our situation because, Lord, after all, I've got this and this is in my life and I don't see this going away and these questions are uncertain. I don't know about this and sounds good. I understand on paper maybe it works out, but it doesn't work out in my life. Isn't that where the battle is a lot of times? Or is that just me? You ever been there? Peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Peace is all about having assurance in the one that is in control of all things. Peace is all about having an assurance that we are connected to the one that is above all things. Peace is about having an assurance that we are tied to the one that has the final say in how things are going to turn out. You with me? Peace is about having an assurance that I know the one who writes the end of the story. Peace is about assurance, having an assurance that there is one that loves me, that sees things and knows things that I don't see and I don't understand. And He knows what's good for me when I don't know what's good for me. And the things that are a bother to me and seem to disrupt my life and give me feelings that are unpleasant, there is one that I am tied to that knows how to work all of those things so that in the final analysis, it's for my good, perhaps for the good of somebody around me. And when we can get to the place where we recognize that our peace doesn't have to come through having everything perfect around us, and that we have rather given our energy and our focus to do what this lady did and push through the press and touch the hem of the garment of the one that is above all else, that is where our peace comes from. Not because we understand and we know everything. Not because all the storm clouds go away, but because of an assurance that comes from being connected to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of trouble. I remember one time I was not at peace with myself, struggling. I was in a room, and this was years ago, and I was praying, and I wasn't sure how there could be a good answer to it. And all of a sudden, I felt like that the Lord spoke to me and said these three words: go in peace. It's time to get up. You can't cover this bill, but I can. You don't have to understand it all. It doesn't have to feel exactly like you would like it to feel. I've got it. Now, it's time for you to get up and go. Because there's other things of value that I want you to do. I don't want you to be consumed with this. And I want you to go in peace. I don't want you to pick it back up. I don't want to give you peace for the moment. And then you say, thank you, Lord, for the peace that you've given me. And then promptly pick back up the weight on my way out the door. The Lord said, I want you to get up and I want you to go. And I want you to do it in peace. I want you to be at peace. Not so long ago, I was struggling again with something that was weighing on my heart and my mind. And my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, what am I going to do with this? Did you hear what I just said? What am I going to do about this? And just as quickly as I asked the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do with this? He spoke so clearly to me and He said, give it to me. That's all. It's not all about you, Rod. It's not all about what you can do or what you can't do. It's not all about what you understand or what you don't understand. I want you to give that to me. And then I want you to get up and I want you to go and I want you to go in peace because you have an assurance, not of all the details, but you have an assurance that you are connected to the one that does. 2 Timothy said, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is fear? Have you ever been fearful? What is fear? To me, fear is coming face to face with unmanageable situations that threaten to cause me personal distress and pain. Things that I'm not able to manage. Things that I face that look like have uncontrollable consequences. Well, I'm not fearful if I'm walking down the road and I see this obstacle in front of me and it has a weight of 50 pounds, I'll move it. But perhaps I'm walking down the road and I see something that has a weight that's bigger than I am. And I realize I can't control it. It's beyond me. And it threatens to disrupt my life or those that I love. It threatens to bring uncertainty that I don't know how to handle. And fear starts to settle in. And when fear begins to come in, it pushes our peace and our rest out. They don't occupy the same place at the same time. Peace and fear are kind of like water and oil. They don't mix very well. And when we spend our time thinking about and wondering about all of the what ifs and what could happen and how did this happen and this looks really bad and this could turn into this, and we begin to give ourselves over to that kind of thinking versus redirecting our hearts and our minds on the one that does know all, then our peace is going to be lost. And our rest is going to evade us. The good news this morning is, and it's not cliche, there is peace in the midst of the storm, folks. You know the story of Jesus in the boat? The wind and the waves, it said he was asleep. And just want to say quickly that there's a difference between being asleep where we are oblivious to what's going on. Put our head in the sand. Put our hands over our eyes. So that we just don't want to recognize the trouble that's around us. Versus being at rest. Jesus was not oblivious to what was going on. He was at rest. He wants us to be at rest. He's not asking us to be oblivious. He's not asking us to act like that the mountain's not there. Jesus is not saying, why are you pointing out the mountain? There's no mountain when there's a mountain. The Lord's not saying that. He's saying, yes, look at the mountain. Look at the trouble. It is in front of you. But then redirect your attention to the one that is ultimately in control. We are so good at carrying our sins, past sins, carrying our weaknesses, looking at all of the things that are bigger than we are, and allowing our lives to be defined, allowing our peace to be defined by our circumstances. And yet, all through the Scriptures, we're exhorted to look up, look beyond that. That's why Jesus came. He's the God of the present. He's the God of the past. He's the God of the future. He's the God of the wind and the waves and the noise. And He's the God of the scary things in life. And so He invites us to be at peace through Him. And yet, again, before I close, we try so hard to make peace equivalent to the absence of trouble. And when we look and we see that big T in our life, we think this can't happen. Because peace has to equal the absence of trouble. Or at least the absence of trouble that I can't handle. Right? And yet, we are surrounded by trouble. It's called life. And if this is going to be your criteria for finding peace, you're not ever going to find it. But if we can get to the place where we realize that outside and around and in the midst of this trouble, there is this loving being called Jesus. And that becomes what our assurance is placed in. Then I can face trouble. And I can cancel these out and I can say I can still have peace in the time of trouble. Because I have assurance of the one who holds me up. And I want to be clear before I close that I am not preaching a message where I'm saying that God has an experience for us where we do not feel emotion. Jesus felt the emotion in the Garden of Gethsemane, I guarantee you. I have an idea he felt the emotion when the disciples said some of the things they said. Lord, why don't we just cause some lightning to come down and burn these folks up? What? How long have you been with me? What are you talking about? What do you mean who wants to sit on my right hand or the left? And he wept. And he was grieved when he looked over Jerusalem and when Lazarus was dead. He had emotion too. Not preaching a message where I'm saying that the Lord calls us and says, you have not arrived yet. If you ever feel negative emotion anymore, doesn't say that anywhere. What we are taught, that even in the midst of emotions that we would not choose to have, where we don't feel good, where we don't like what we see, that there is still an underlying assurance, an assurance that I may not like it, I may not feel good, I may not like where this looks like it's going, but I'm connected to the one who does. And he knows how to work these things for good in my life and the lives of those around me. So I say, Lord, help me to press on. Help me to go on in peace. This morning, Jesus said, go in peace, and he meant it. Be still and know that I am God. Be at peace and know that I am God. Go face the enemy that he told Jehoshaphat. Go, the battle's mine, but go. I have something for you to do. Don't go in a corner. Don't turn the lights out. Don't give yourself over to an absence of peace and consumed with yourself. Folks, life is about more than you. I don't know how to say this any other way. Life is about more than you. It's about more than me, myself, and I. It's about more than your feelings. It's not that God doesn't care about our feelings. He does. But He has a bigger plan. And yet so often we take a supersized portion of responsibility for so many of the things that we see. And the Lord's saying, when I said, what am I going to do about this? And the Lord says, why don't you give it to me? Not about you. Give it to me. Not so much about us. It's not so much about the trouble that's around us. It's about looking up and being connected to the one that is above all, that has a plan, that loves us and cares about us. So this morning, let's believe it. Let's accept it. Let's press for it. Not with our head in the sand, not acting like we don't recognize the trouble that's around us. Face it straight on and then acknowledge the one that is above all things. That is where our rest comes from. To all this morning, let's get up, let's arise, let's step our feet into the water. Let's go, because the Lord has more land for you to possess. He has victory for you. He has a plan that goes beyond you. But He wants you to be an instrument in His work. So He says to us all this morning, be of good comfort. Go in peace. Amen.